So people ask me all the time, what is the secret to my Ruach HaKodesh? It's a common question, and so I figured tonight I would share it with all of you. Ruach HaKodesh is something that's thrown around. It's a topic that's spoken about, stories that we hear. Literally, Ruach HaKodesh means a spirit of holiness, and it generally seems to be in the same category as nevuah, it's prophecy. What I'd like to do tonight is explore what is Ruach HaKodesh, does it still exist, and share a few authentic stories on the subject, just as a source of strengthening our own emunas chachamim, our confidence and our belief in the Torah personalities who lead us. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in his work Orchos Yosher, he has a whole section on Ruach HaKodesh, and he explains that on one hand, the Gemara tells us in Sota, Mishemesu Chagai Zachariah Malachi, they were the last of the prophets, Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mi Yisrael. At that point in history, this is going back about 400 BCE, Ruach HaKodesh was banished from the Jewish people. It left us. And it sounds like from that Gemara, we no longer had access to this divine inspiration. However, Reb Chaim says, if you look in many different places throughout Shas, the Gemara in Erevin, that says Rebbe Gamliel had Ruach HaKodesh, the Gemara in Nedarim, that says Rebbe Akiva had Ruach HaKodesh, the Gemara in Shvius that says Tzofer Rashbi B'Ruach HaKodesh, Rebbe Meir. So there are so many people who definitely lived hundreds of years after the last of the prophets. The Gemara says they had Ruach HaKodesh. So make up your mind. Was it gone 400 BCE, or did it stick around a little bit longer? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes, putting aside what we find in Shas and different sources in the Gemara, we've seen with our own eyes Yechidei Skula, Hesigu L'Madregas Ruach HaKodesh Bizmanenu. You don't have to look into the sources or open up a volume of the Talmud. I personally know people who lived with Ruach HaKodesh. And you look back in earlier generations, what we know about the Gra and the Chafetz Chaim and many other Gedolim, being able to somehow know information and share information that, naturally speaking, they would have no access to. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it must be sheyesh harbei madregos beruach hakodesh, that there are many different levels of divine inspiration. When the Gemara in Sota says that when Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi passed away, at that point in history, nistalka ruach hakodesh mi Yisrael, divine inspiration was gone from Klal Yisrael, that's referring to prophecy. Real nevuah was nistalek, left the Jewish people at the exact same time in history that the men of the Great Assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, were able, through their power of tefillah, to remove the overwhelming yetzer hara for idolatry. At that point in time, where we no longer had this ongoing, overwhelming challenge of Avodah Zarah, Zula Umazu, at that point in time, we also lost the Koach of Kedusha, that power of prophecy. However, it's clear from all the other Gemaras that were quoted, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, the Rashbi, and what we've seen Bizmanenu in our own times, in our own reality, says Reb Chaim, people that I know well, probably referring to his uncle, the Chazon Ish, probably referring to his father, the Stipler Gaon, and probably even referring to himself. Says, trust me, there's Ruach HaKodesh Afilu bizmanenu, even in our times. Now, what does that mean? So it's not prophecy. It's not real, you know, divine insight, the same level of Yeshaya and Yirmiyah. But Ruach HaKodesh could come in many different forms. He says, for example, it's possible to have a chacham, a gadol, where he feels something in a very true, genuine way, almost as if it was information that was given to him from a higher source, min ha-shamayim. And there's a sense of clarity and conviction. And he quotes the Chazon Ish, he quotes his uncle, giving an example of this type of Ruach HaKodesh. When the Chazon Ish speaks about bitachon. So famously the Chazon Ish writes, bitachon does not mean that I know everything will be okay. Having trust and reliance in Hashem does not mean that I have to convince myself that the way I perceive a good outcome will actually happen. We're not prophets. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind and all the different calculations of the infinite that's well above and beyond us. Bitachon means that there's nothing in the world that happens as a mikra. Nothing just takes place by coincidence. Everything is Yad Hashem, from national issues to personal issues. Everything is directly orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashkachas Hashem. That's bitachon. However, at the very end of his discussion on bitachon, the Chazon Ish does say, there happens to be a higher level, a different plane of existence, where a person, based on their development of Kedusha and their closeness to Hashem, they could actually attain a level of certainty where there's a vados, there's this conviction that Hashem will come through for me in this particular way. And the Chazon Ish says, "V'ze inyan mischalef lefi malas aboteach." This depends on the level of the one trusting in Hashem, v'rov kadsho, and the amount of kedusha that he's developed throughout the years. But there is such an idea, and that, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that's an example of what we might call Ruach HaKodesh. There's a clarity, there's a knowledge, almost as if it was given to you min ha-shamayim. Reb Chaim continues and he says, it's interesting because you'll see sometimes if you go to a gadol and you ask for hadracha, give me direction, I have a very complicated question. So he might tell you one thing and then someone else comes to him and it seems like a very similar situation and he might say something completely different. How do you understand that? Looking at that objectively, it doesn't make any sense. But explains Reb Chaim Kanievsky, we find many times shele'echad onim keim l'sheni onim sheyase lehepach, to the second one you might tell him almost the opposite. V'zeh hakol l'fi ma shenosnin lo min ha-shamayim b'fiv. This is another idea of Ruach HaKodesh where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will almost direct me, right? You're coming to me asking a question. Hashem will give me an insight to share with you. I might not even have the clarity myself as to why it's different, all the different factors that play a role, but I understand that for you, it has to be a little bit different than that person. Then Reb Chaim says, many times, based on the sincerity of the gadol who's giving advice, when he's totally focused, l'shem shemayim, I'm just here to help you to the best of my abilities, the power of his l'shem shemayim itself can actually bring his advice to fruition. It could lead you on the right path, coming from the purity of the desire of this person who's established himself as a Gadol b'Yisrael after so many years of connection with Torah and Hashem, the sincerity of his mind and heart to help you, that itself might lead you in the right direction, and so too in the converse. If I, the person asking for that hadracha, trying to get clarity as to what I need to be doing, if I come to you with a sense of total hachna, I just want to hear what you have to say. Now that doesn't mean I'm turning off my brain. That's not a Jewish thing to do ever. I'm going to keep this very vague, but I was having a back and forth with a gabbai of a very, very well-known gadol in Eretz Yisrael. And the gabbai was kind of his right-hand man, and I was asking him to ask the Rav a particular question, and he got back to me with an answer. And the answer was somewhat counterintuitive, so I texted him back, why did he say that? And his response was, this is all in Hebrew, so I really have no idea what he said, but I think he said, Miyomai, in all of my days, I've never asked him the question, why are you saying this? Why are you paskening that way? I was always in the Kabbal, I accepted his answer like Das Torah, as the authentic Torah opinion without questioning. So I wrote back to him, yeah, that doesn't work for me. In order for me to understand the Das Torah, I have to know where he's coming from. If I ever want to apply this in any other angle or situation in my life, the way to fully effectively understand the information is knowing why, how, where. So we don't turn off our brain. However, Chaim writes that if my ambition, my goal is to come to learn from you, and there is a sincerity, and there's a L'shem Shemayim on the part of the person asking the question, and the way he phrases it is, Dover Zereinu Kama Pamim, Eitzel Gedol Yisrael. I've also seen this many times. You have someone who's a Yarei Shemayim, Shesomech Kol Dover Al Chacham, that he's relying on the Chacham, Vishomeya Lo L'chol Yomar, and he wants to listen to everything he's saying. Yesh lo siyata d'shmaya shenosnin lechacham befiv ma lomer lo. That itself can create this divine assistance in a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving the right answer to the chacham, because I'm coming with such a sense of sincerity. And because of this, concludes Reb Chaim Kanievsky, when it comes to having any real connection or association with Ruach HaKodesh, one very important principle is connect yourself with Talmidei Chachamim. Ruach HaKodesh doesn't come in a vacuum. It's not, I'm finding my own way in life and spirituality and Judaism, and I've watched a lot of amazing things online and they're really inspiring. Trust me, you're not going to get Ruach HaKodesh that way, and you'll have no connection to Ruach HaKodesh. It's through relationships with people who are much greater than we are, being yonek from their words, literally nursing, gaining nutrients from their Chochmas HaTorah, coming with a sense of real humility and trying to gain from their broader perspective. So then I might have some connection to Ruach HaKodesh. When the Ramchal in Derech Hashem speaks about this reality of Ruach HaKodesh, he also makes this distinction where he says prophecy is something that we no longer have, and Ruach HaKodesh we still do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically placed within the Teva, within everyone's neshama, the ability to learn from his or her surroundings. And the idea of bina, right, generally translated as understanding, bina means you're maven dover mitoch dover. I could see something, I could observe something, I could learn information, and then I could derive something else from that. That's true within the realm of the intellect. And says the Ramchal, Nederach Hashem, that's also true within the realm of the spiritual. And Ruach HaKodesh is kind of in that category where I'm able to almost come to a truth that's beyond me. The wording of the Ramchal is, Haskala Haneshpas. It's a wisdom where the reason I know something or the reason I feel that there's a truth is because I was the recipient of Shefa, of this divine knowledge, because I allowed myself to become what we commonly refer to as a Kli. I'm making myself a vessel by, and we'll have to see, well, how do I do that? What exactly is that easy five-step process to receive Ruach HaKodesh? And I guarantee you, by the time you leave this evening, you'll all be able to be zocha to Ruach HaKodesh for three easy payments of $19.95, right? I guarantee you, or your money back. So the Ramchal says that Ruach HaKodesh is where I'm able to receive a hashpa. I'm able to somehow be the conduit to a deeper truth that's beyond my natural intellect. I'll give you an example of this from the Gemara that we actually had in our Kenyan Masechta Shir recently. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Gimel, it compares and contrasts the last of the Nevi'im we mentioned before, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, to the great personality in Tanakh, Daniel. And the Gemara says, on one hand, right, we have a very cryptic pasuk in Sefer Daniel, where he says, Re'isi ani Daniel levadi es hamara. I was standing there together with prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and I saw this vision, v'hanasha mesher hayu imi lo ro es hamara. But the men who were standing together with me, they didn't see what I saw. However, they had this very intense fear fall upon them. And they ran and they found some kind of hiding place. So the Gemara elaborates, who were these men? They were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And on one hand, they were greater than Daniel because they were officially prophets, and Daniel was not a prophet. Now, what does that mean? If he's experiencing a prophecy, why is he not a prophet and they are? So Rashi says, the definition of a Navi is not just one who has a prophecy. That's also very impressive. But a real Navi is someone that Hashem sends on a mission to share that prophecy with others. That's a Navi. So Daniel wasn't a Navi. However, on the other hand, he was greater than these prophets because he saw this particular vision and they didn't. So then the Gemara is bothered by a question. One second. If they didn't see anything, what were they afraid of? Right? They had this overwhelming fear and they ran away and they were hiding. So why were they afraid? So the Gemara says, Afal gabd inhu lo chozu mazleyu chozu. Even though they themselves didn't see, their mazel saw. Right? Mazel tov. Meaning to say, there was a different level of consciousness that was aware of this reality. Even if you were to ask them, why are you afraid? They wouldn't be able to describe what Daniel was experiencing because they didn't see what he saw. But mazleyu chazi, a different level of the neshama that was aware of this, was the source of their fear and anxiety. And that's why the Ramchal says in the Adir B'Marom, another work of his, he says, based on this Gemara, we believe that it's possible to become aware of something in a more subtle realm, where I might not even know why it's true, I might not fully grasp how it's true, But magia im koze eza roshim. There's a rishima, there's an impact on the neshama. This could be another insight into what Ruach HaKodesh is. Rashi, when he's trying to explain the various psukim in Yechezkel, right? Yechezkel, for those who didn't go to a Beis Yaakov, he was one of the prophets. And he describes the edifice of the third Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi, as he's commenting on what these psukim mean, oftentimes he'll say, I don't know exactly what this phrase means, I don't know what it's referring to. Va'ani lo hayali lo rav v'lo ozer. Rashi writes, towards the beginning of Perek Mem Beis of Yechezkel, I didn't have any Rebbe or anyone teaching me, giving me a Mesorah and how to interpret these psukim. B'chol ha-binyan hazeh, regarding the entire structure of the third Beis HaMikdash, ela kamo sheheroni min ha-shamayim. I'm just sharing with you what was shown to me from the heavens. Okay? Isn't that amazing? Right? Rashi is saying, forgive me, I'm not telling you this based on what I learned from my Rebbe. I'm just sharing with you what was given to me min ha-shamayim. Okay. That's probably an example of Ruach HaKodesh. I want to share with you an unbelievable firsthand story about Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg is not a personality that we would naturally associate the mystical and Kabbalah. Anyone who knew Rav Scheinberg, he was so down to earth. He was incredibly normal and funny. And he would mention baseball and when he used to follow the Yankees. He was born in America. And, he went to Eretz Yisrael. Now, he was one of the greatest gedolim of our generation. And his depth and his vast knowledge was absolutely incredible. But we don't picture him as a Kabbalist. And he wasn't. He was a gadol b'Torah. I had a conversation with Rabbi Yitzi Kesak, who lives here in Boca. He actually is the fundraiser for Rabbi Scheinberg's yeshiva now for many years. He's involved with the whole financial system of the yeshiva. And he also works for Torah Academy. He's involved with their building campaign. And when I found out that he had a long-term relationship with Rabbi Scheinberg, I said, you got to share some stories with me. And he shared a few. I just want to share one, which I think highlights this idea of Ruach HaKodesh. And then we'll explore briefly where does that come from? And how do you ever have a chance of getting it? He said that when Rav Scheinberg was already an older man, he had different hours throughout the day where he would allow people to come in and ask questions, receive blessings, ask for advice. And in the morning, he had a few hours where he was meeting with people back to back, and he was exhausted. The way that Rabbi Kesak explains it is even between the people coming in, you could see him almost like just dozing off. The very last person who was coming for the morning slot, she came in and she was incredibly distraught. And she was crying and she couldn't get the words out. And she said, basically, I just got information that I have terminal cancer. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, and I know, al pi derech hateva, this diagnosis is not curable. And Rabbi Kesak was sitting there, not knowing what Rav Scheinberg would respond. And Rav Scheinberg, who he looked like he was sleeping, he opens his eyes and says, you're fine. And Rabbi Kesak got very nervous because he assumed it wasn't really maybe processing the question. And he tried to intervene. He's like, you know what? Maybe it's worth coming back a little bit later. Right now, the rabbi is going to take a rest. He's very tired. This afternoon at 4 p.m., That's when he has more time. Please come back right then. We'll get you in right away. And he puts his head up. You're fine. She leaves, not knowing what to make out of that. And Rabbi Kesach, the way he tells over the story, he was a young man at the time, and he was so upset because he thought that he was giving her false hopes. How could you tell someone they're fine? You don't know anything about the situation. You didn't hear what she said, what the doctors found, what their diagnosis is, nothing. And he even went to Reb Simcha Scheinberg, right, the son, saying, we have to stop letting people come in. This could do more harm than good. Anyway, she didn't come back in the afternoon. And she didn't come back until the next day. The next morning, she comes back in with a smile. And she says, it's incredible. The rabbi was right. I got a call back from Hadassah, from the hospital, and they told me the whole thing was botched up. And what they said, what they thought, which was terminal, happens to be nothing. It was probably a virus. Just wanted to share with you the Besura Tova, the good news. She leaves. Reb Scheinberg looks at Yitzi Kesak and says, don't ever question me again. Now, how does that happen? That's probably a very, very cogent example of Ruach HaKodesh, not with Rabbi Meir, not with Rabbi Gamliel, not with the Rashbi, not with Rabbi Akiva. This is a Godol B'Yisrael living in the 21st century. So the Gra in his Pirush in Mishle, he says, every human being is obviously unique and different. L'chol Adam v'Adam yesh lo derech b'fnei atzmo leilich bo, we have our own path. And in the times of the prophets, right, going back to before 400 BCE, Hayuhochem Eitzel Nevi'im, Lidrosh Es Hashem. We would go to the local prophet and we would inquire, what is my tafkid? What should I be focusing on in my Avodas Hashem, in my business, with my family? And the Navi, Al Pi Mishpat HaNavuah, based on his competency in prophecy, Darko Esher Yelichbo, he would tell the person the path that he needs to be focused on, because everyone has their own unique derech. Lefi shorish nishmaso lefi teva gufo. The prophet would convey this information through a deep understanding of the shorish nishmaso, the source of the soul and his personality, what they need to pour their efforts into. However, Misha Batla Hanavua. The Vilna Gaon says, once prophecy was nullified, Yesh Ruach HaKodesh B'Yisrael, we still have Ruach HaKodesh. And like Rav Chaim Kanievsky told us, it's not a one-size-fits-all Ruach HaKodesh. There could be many levels within Ruach HaKodesh. Ve'ish Rucho Hu Yodienu Eich Lisnahig. And my own ruach, my own spirit can guide me and direct me in what I need to be doing. V'ruach HaKodesh yesh l'chol adam v'adam. Not just the gedolim, but every single person has within them ruach HaKodesh. Wow. That sounds incredible. But here's the caveat, right? Here's the small writing on the bottom. Ach, however, Ashrei Adam lo yachshav Hashem lo avon ve'ein berucho remia. Fortunate and rare is the person who doesn't have his own bias based on the way I was brought up, the way I perceive myself and the world around me, based on the hours and hours of television you would watch when you were a kid. There are so many different factors and feelings going on within me that cloud the Ruach HaKodesh. And practically speaking, says the Gra, Mi Yomer Zechisi Libi, who could have the audacity to suggest that they have a purity of heart and soul, and they've been able to to pierce through all of the layers of contamination to be able to find the Ruach HaKodesh within them. The only people that get close is Zeh She'ein Berucha Remia. It's one who doesn't have corruption or distortion within his neshama. Zeh Dovuk Mamish B'midosav Shel HaKodesh Baruch Hu. This requires someone being connected with the midos of Hashem, living and breathing, emulating the ways of the divine. If a person has attained that level of love and compassion and chesed and looking beyond him or herself, living a selfless life of wanting to give to others, then maybe you've somehow transcended a lot of that fog, and you might be able to tap into your Ruach HaKodesh. But without that, you can't really trust yourself. It's there, but you can't trust yourself. But we do find from this Gra one avenue of at least coming closer to gaining access to the Ruach HaKodesh, which is an incredible idea that every single person has Ruach HaKodesh within them. It's finding it, it's discovering it, it's uncovering it. That requires becoming a mensch, emulating the ways of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's another angle that's needed as well. And the reason why I think both of these perspectives are so powerful is because they're giving us a clear description of what's needed to have any level of access to Ruach HaKodesh. What's factor number two? Take a look at the Tana de Be'eliyahu. Tana de Be'eliyahu, these are teachings that go back to Eliyahu Hanavi. Speaking about the Ruach HaKodesh that David HaMelech was able to attain or tap into. Harei limid shekibul alav all Torah v'ol mitzvos. David HaMelech was zocha to his divine inspiration because he accepted upon himself the ultimate responsibility of Torah and mitzvos. Hasom atzmo keshor la'or uchomor l'masa. A person makes himself like a donkey carrying the burden. Vayosha v'yege b'chol yom b'torah tamid. And he creates this urgency to be constantly involved with learning. Then miyad ruach hakodesh shora alav v'toroso b'toch meyav. Immediately, the person gets to this level of what we call learning l'shma. I'm learning with the only desire to come closer to Hashem through the truth of the Torah, and that becomes my constant focus. Vayirba b'yeshiva v'yimat b'schora, and everything else in my world is not nearly as important. It doesn't compare, it doesn't take me away, it doesn't distract me from my ruchnias pursuits. And I don't have time for the silliness of Olam Hazeh, I don't have time for the narishkeit of the different theories and the politics and conspiracies. I don't care. I just want to be dovok with you. If a person has that mindset, so then miyad ruach hakodesh betoch meyav, then immediately a person will be connected with that ruach hakodesh. Mitoch meyav means within his stomach. When I'm learning and I'm engaged in mitzvos in a way where it's not superficial, it's not something I'm just doing because this is my schedule, these are part of my routines, but I'm living and breathing it. It's betoch meyav. I'm incorporating it into my very essence of who I am and what I stand for. Then you have a chance at Ruach HaKodesh. What this means is, and this is very important, Ruach HaKodesh, connecting with one's divine inspiration that we all have, is not going to come through exotic, new world ideas and modalities. It gets back to the basics. good, old-fashioned, boring chas v'shalom. But Judaism, what does it mean to be Jewish? What does it mean to be connected to Hashem? It's working on myself and developing my midos and taking my relationship seriously and pushing through the tension and the friction. And it's taking my Torah and my tefillah seriously. And if I'm not happy with where I am, then I have to do something about that. The way to elevate oneself is not to find newfangled ideas that now make me feel holier than thou because you don't know about this. The way to elevate myself is to come closer to Hashem in the Mesorah, in the legacy that we have. Midos and Torah. I want to share with you an incredible idea from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was also not viewed as a mystic, a makubal, but nonetheless, reading stories, first-hand interactions from the family of the Chazon Ish, from the Stipler, from Reb Chaim and others, you get this understanding that he had a grasp of reality well above and beyond that which made sense for him to know. One little vignette in the settlement of Rishon LeZion. This is after World War II. Fellow immigrated from Europe, and he was just trying to make a parnasa. He himself was not religious back in Europe. His parents were actually very religious, and they were disappointed in his decisions as he was growing up. And then the war came, and he tried his best to fit in with the non-Jewish German culture, and he was not able to do so. He was sent to Auschwitz, and Baruch Hashem, he did survive the war. But when he immigrated to Israel, he really had no feeling and no connection with Yiddishkeit. To the point where he didn't even pay attention to the calendar, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and it was Yom Kippur evening, 1952. Now, 1952 is significant. That's 1 year before the Chazon Ish passed away. He passed away in 53. The night of Kol Nidre, he came home from a regular day at work, and he went to sleep and had this very vivid dream of his father. His father, who was in the kittel and a talis, he came to him basically pleading that he gets closer to Yiddishkeit, that he does tshuva, that he begins to learn anything, chumash, mishnayos. And he woke up and he felt so uncomfortable. But he tried pushing it aside. Listen, you know, the mind is a very creative place. The problem, though, was he had the same dream consecutively for 7 nights in a row. So although he was not a religious man, he did hear of the sage, the Chazon Ish. So he decided to travel to Bnei Brak. He gets to the home of the Chazon Ish, and as he's walking into the study, he hears the Chazon Ish, who is a very gentle man, say it in a very strong voice, "Ah! Oh, you're Machalel Shabbos! You choose not to have any relationship with the Borei Olam, with the creator of the universe. And you're wondering why your father is upset." And the man's hearing this. He's just, what is going on? How in the world do you know anything about this? And the Chazon Ish tells him, "You've made very poor decisions in your life." Now again, obviously anyone who went through Auschwitz, you can never have any judgment. But perhaps before, you've made decisions in your life that have created a mechitza between you and Hashem. And the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now giving you a second chance is based on an unbelievable chesed you did when you were a young man. What is that chesed? Right, so picture being this guy. I came here just to figure out what's going on. Why am I having these reoccurring dreams? And now I'm getting blasted by the Chazon Ish. Right? What did I do when I was young? He starts thinking, like, listen, I was always honest, and I was a nice fellow. And the Chazon Ish said back, that's beautiful, but that's not what I'm referring to. What did you do? What Maisa Chesed? And then it dawned on him. He remembered when he was a young man, he was about 14 years old, he heard from one of his family members, his aunt, that there was a boy that somehow passed away and was laying in the middle of a forest somewhere without a Kavuras Yisrael. So that's what we call a Meis Mitzvah. And they asked this guy, can you go and try to find the boy and bury him kahalacha, give him a valid Jewish burial? And he didn't want to, and he was somewhat nervous, and traveling through these roads and into this particular area he understood was dangerous, but he decided to do it af al pichei, and I'm going to try to find this body, and he did. And he was able to give this boy a kavuras Yisrael, a proper halachic Jewish burial. So he mentioned that to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said, yes, that's the mitzvah I'm referring to. Now, Rav Scheinberg, the Chazon Ish, where did they get this Ruach HaKodesh from? From their ongoing toiling in Torah, trying to come closer to Hashem. That simple. What I think is also very important to note, we know the Chazon Ish himself had an incredible expertise in the medical field. And there are many, many different stories about him giving advice, him drawing a picture of where exactly to do the heart surgery, brain surgery. He never had any formal knowledge similar to the Rashi. I didn't have a teacher, I didn't have a professor. He didn't read even the secular books on medicine. It was through his ruchnius he was able to have this clarity. At the same time, though, he knew every single physician in Israel. And when someone would come to him with a medical issue, it was never, just take these herbs and call me in the morning. It was understanding the halacha. What's valid hishtadlus? The hishtadlus is you go to the best in the field. And I'm sure they had issues with the pharmaceutical companies back then also. But that doesn't therefore mean that we ignore and we deny the wisdom that we have accomplished within Western medicine. He would sometimes send a person for a diagnosis to this particular doctor, but treatment elsewhere. The case of a young lady who was on the verge of death and the condition was not discovered, and the doctors basically gave up hope, this case came to the Chazon Ish. And he basically advised the physician to do certain types of testing that were very much outside the realm of the normal protocol of what's done in these types of issues. And through that testing, they discovered what was actually going on, and that saved her life. The doctor, after getting this message from the Chazon Ish, wanted to meet him. So he went to Rabbi Yeshua Zelig Diskin, asking to meet the Chazon Ish, and he explained why. And then he asked Rabbi Diskin the following question. How is it possible that an old man with no medical background and no knowledge of this field, how does he know more than we do? And Rabbi Diskin said, it's very simple. He learns Torah all day with sincerity. So yes, we all have Ruach HaKodesh within us, and the way to access that, we don't need necessarily anything new and exciting to try to create and discover the excitement within tefillah, within Torah, within refining our midos, and that could be the greatest source of elevation and healing. Thank you.